The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. It is Tuesday, May 30th. I'm losing my months here already. And hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. It was a wonderful weekend for a lot of people. Not so great for some other people. We're going to talk about that. Obviously, no surprise with the headline in sports in general, and certainly in golf, is for today's show. We have Bob Bupka joining us in just a little bit. And as always, Frank Bassett from our Nashville studios is with us, and everybody getting ready, coming off of the great Memorial Day weekend and the Dean and DeLuca Championship, where Kevin Kistner made a very clutch 5-foot par putt on the final hole to hold off John Rahm and Jordan Spieth, and seemed like a bunch of other guys that were just waiting for him to make a bogey, and he wouldn't do it, so Kistner gets his second PGA Tour victory at the Dean and DeLuca Invitational and denied Jordan Spieth a chance to stand alongside Ben Hogan as still the only person who's ever won back-to-back Colonials or Dean and DeLuca. So Jordan Spieth put on a heck of a charge, but a little bit too little, too late. Kevin Kistner walks away with not only the trophy, but the beautiful plaid jacket from the members at Colonial. Hey, Frank, in the Nashville studios, did you get a chance to watch any of the tournament over the weekend with Kistner and the boys? Putting on a pretty good show.
Every bit of it. Watched all of it. A great show. Yeah. Fantastic. Course looked great. The play was fabulous. Really was thinking Spieth was going to pull it off. I mean, he was having a fabulous Sunday, and Kevin Kistner just kept on keeping on, buddy. He
just needed one more birdie, Spieth lipped out a couple, three at least, that were really close to birdies. One of those had dropped, and it might have been a different story. But the story, too, is with Jordan Spieth, and he has said this, he's getting too slow of starts, and we've seen that in the past with Tiger, even when Tiger was in the 2012-13, he was having a hard time getting off to a fast start, and he had to put on a great Saturday-Sunday charge to get in contention, and Jordan's doing the same thing. He almost missed the cut. He had to birdie the last two holes on Friday, rather, to make the cut, and then he almost wins the thing. So a great Saturday-Sunday for him, but he's got to get off to a better Thursday-Friday.
But the star was John Rahm. I mean, John Rahm is a player.
Fun to watch.
Good gracious, how much fun is he to watch?
Yeah,
he really is. Amazing. Hey, I want to say something about we're doing a show a day late here because of Memorial Day, and there's a lot of confusion, I think, out there about what Memorial Day is. We have Veterans Day, which honors our veterans, but Memorial Day is honoring the men and women in the uniforms of the United States that didn't come home or that came home not alive. So I want everybody to be thinking about that as we move forward, maybe for next Memorial Day, that Memorial Day is a very solemn day. When you say Happy Memorial Day to people, maybe we should say Grateful Memorial Day instead of Happy Memorial Day, because it is a very solemn day honoring the fallen of the United States. So, and speaking of that, we have a veteran on with us, as he does every week, courtesy of Vertical Groove Golf, Mr. Bob Bupka, who's a veteran of the United States Air Force. Hello, Bob Bupka.
Hey, guys. You're right there, Frank. I don't know if we should say Happy Memorial Day. I think of it as a day of appreciation to the families that have been left behind. I mean, just an incredible number. And, you know, my heart goes out to each and every one of those families that remember a loved one they lost so that we could stay free.
Right. Well, and we honor them, as we did this past weekend, with all kinds of parades and marches and around in Dallas. I'm sure everywhere else there were 10Ks and different kinds of festivities, all to honor those people. Not to celebrate, but to celebrate, like you just said, Bob, what they stand for, and that is the freedoms that we have, and a lot of it through some very strong sacrifices by a lot of men and women throughout the history of this country in the armed services. So welcome to the show, Bob, and let's get right into what everybody's talking about, and that is Tiger Woods being arrested over the weekend because of what happened. He was charged with a DUI in Florida, not too far from his home, and still a lot of facts yet to come out, so we certainly don't want to jump too soon other than reporting what's already been out there, which is it was Monday morning, 3 a.m. Monday morning, that he was taken to the Palm Beach County Jail and charged with DUI. We'll see how this plays out. His statement said he understands the severity of what he did. He takes full responsibility for his actions, and he wants the public to know that alcohol was not involved. It was unexpected reaction to prescribed medications, and he didn't realize that the mix of medications had affected him so strongly. So we'll see. There are reports that the police on the scene say they may have smelled alcohol. Whether or not he took a breathalyzer there, a field sobriety test, there are reports saying that he flunked a field sobriety test on the scene. So, again, a lot of things still yet to come out, what we do know and what we don't know. But it seems that, it, at the very least, from a PR standpoint, not a good weekend for Tiger Woods.
Well, it certainly wasn't. I mean, you know, the most perplexing aspect of the facts that, that we have been privy to thus far, Tim and Frank, is the fact that he was driving in the opposite direction of his home and the opposite direction of his restaurant. So that begs the question, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, where is he going?
Right.
I mean,
that's the question. Nobody's asked that, yeah. Bob. Nobody on television has brought that up. And I was talking to Tim earlier about that. Where was he going? And the other thing, Bob, about all this, and Tim, is TMZ, which we know, you know, TMZ was there at the crucifixion, obviously, because they know everything that's going to happen. I'd like to find out when Jesus is coming back from them, because they know all and tell all, which I'm being very tongue-in-cheek and sort of irritated with TMZ because of the reports they came out. They came out with a contradicting report saying that he refused a breathalyzer test, and then they say he failed a breathalyzer test. Fact, the point in fact is he failed a field sobriety test, which is not a breathalyzer test. That's a, you know, finger to nose, stand on one leg, say the alphabet backwards and all that. So, I don't know, what are your thoughts about all this hoopla that's coming out, Bob?
Well, just those tests that you just indicated, I think I would fail them 24/7.
Me too.
I certainly can't say the alphabet backwards. Or, I have trouble putting my finger to my nose. But I want to share a story, if you guys don't mind, because the amount of negative stuff coming out about Tiger is just overwhelming. But there is another side of Tiger. I've been fortunate enough, guys, to have covered all 14 of his majors. And he wasn't my buddy. He wouldn't, you know, we couldn't go out to dinner together. But as close to being a friend in Tiger's world, I really was. And Janice Self, the executive producer for our stuff, went out to his tournament in December at Sherwood Oaks, as one of his fundraisers, and both of us went on a regular basis. And then this one year, I was required to go to the hospital for some routine checkups, nothing serious. So Janice went. I was in a hospital in New York. Tiger sees Janice and says, "Where's Bob?" And Janice said, "Well, he had to go in the hospital for a routine test, but he's fine." Tiger says, "Get him on the phone." So Janice dials my number. I'm laying in the hospital. I pick up my cell phone. I said, "Hello." He says, "How you doing, man?" I said, "Who is this?" He said, "How you doing, man?" I said, "Come on. Who the heck is this?" He said, "It's Tiger." I said, "Oh, man." I said, "What are you trying to do? Give me a heart attack?" He said, "No, I just want to make sure you're okay." I said, "I'm fine." I hang up the phone. I say to the nurse, I said, "Yeah, that was Tiger Woods calling, see how I was doing." And she immediately leaves the room. And within a minute, in comes his doctor. And he said, "Mr. Bubka, your attending nurse thinks you might be a little delusional. We're going to have to check you over." So, but I mean, for Tiger to take time out, to call and see about the well-being of somebody in the media, I think it's a different side of Tiger than people have been hearing. You know, besides the fire hydrants and besides being stopped at 3 a.m, you know, and my heart automatically goes out to his two children. You know, it's not easy to have your picture pasted on every newspaper. When you have children that, you know, are going to be hurt by that. And here's one other thing, and I'd love your guys' opinion on this. You know, when did this occur? This occurred on Memorial Day. Tiger had a strong, strong tie to the military because of his father, Earl. Now, I'm not saying that that motivated him to do things that he shouldn't do. But if there was ever a day when Tiger would have a heavy heart, I think it would be on Memorial Day.
Yeah, good point. I mean, that certainly could have been the case. He did. There are reports, again, some of these are, I guess, a little bit scattered, but reports saying that the police asked him about where he was, if he knew where he was, and he said that he was coming from Los Angeles from golfing, and then he changed his story and said he wasn't sure where he was. They definitely said he seemed slurred and whatnot. And Frank and I were talking earlier, was he coming from the airport? He has a private jet. Did he come in from somewhere at an event or a private thing? And was he driving home from the airport? Again, we're not really sure where he was. So, and if that were the case, did he just take too many prescribed pills? Was he in pain or something on the plane and then got in a car? We've all said the same thing, which is the first reaction when almost anybody gets caught with in a DUI situation, but certainly an athlete, certainly people that don't have concerns about finances. Why don't you have somebody there to drive you home? And if you get off the plane or if you find out that you drank too much or had too many pills or whatever it was, have somebody. There's a service called Uber we could all use, but have somebody come pick you up. And, you know, it's a little mystifying why someone would get behind the wheel of a car who would fall asleep then in the car and be that tired or out of it that that they couldn't even drive the rest of the way. So that's another question that will, whatever happened to him, we know he wasn't in the best of condition. You got to get somebody, and that's just, I'm saying that to everybody out there. If you think it's a question, have somebody call Uber or get somebody to drive you home, because this could have been avoided one way or the other. No reason for him to get behind the wheel of the car. But, Bob, even in the bigger picture, and again, we're talking with Bob Bupka of the Grill Room, the bigger picture, I don't want to say this is, you know, more in a bad sense for Tiger and people wanting to know, will he come back, won't he come back? There were reports just a week ago of the fact that, yeah, he had his back surgery, but he's still definitely thinking about playing. He had his book come out, spoke to a lot of people, did a lot of interviews, that golf was certainly still very much on his mind. Are we seeing this as just another step in the slide away from that we may never see Tiger, certainly to the level he was ever at, but may never even see him play professional golf anymore?
Well, Tim, I don't know about using the word never, because any time you talk about Tiger, nothing is never. I mean, any time that you think something couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. Any time you think something couldn't get any better, it got better. I don't know. You know, all I know, quite frankly, a healthy 41-year-old Tiger Woods would have a lot of trouble against the caliber of today's talent. I mean, you know, Frank mentioned, and deservedly so, the name John Rahm. I mean, good golly. I mean, this guy is fearless. He takes half a swing and generates tremendous distance, which allows for great accuracy. His iron play is superb. He's good with the putter. And the kid's 22 years old. So a healthy Tiger Woods coming back into the arena right now, it would be difficult. So when you factor in that he's not a healthy 41-year-old, that he's undergone numerous back operations, four, I think, operations on his legs. I mean, it wouldn't be, at best, an easy path for Tiger. And now, when you get outside distractions like this, that mountain is getting awfully high.
Yeah, it's really, I agree, Bob and Tim. I was heart-sickened when I saw it, especially the photograph, because that photograph is out there forever. And his children are at the age now where they see all this stuff, and they have friends in school. And, oh, boy, you know, doggone it. Yeah. I hope it is what it is, and we get it over with. And, again, I can't say enough about tabloid journalism and what I think of it. Now, I really want to say it on this show, but I don't want to be canceled, so I'm not going to say what I truly think of it. But TMZ and those types of outlets for journalism, well, it's not journalism. It's sensationalism, and it's reactionism, and
it's not even factual. I mean, they come out.
Well, the problem with it is it's easier to apologize
than to get permission. Basically, is how they operate. Yeah. I just really don't like that. I think it's so wrong and so bad for all of us.
Media in general, everybody's trying to beat everybody to the story. So facts kind of sometimes slip through the cracks a little bit. They're not as concerned about that as they certainly used to be. It's just about who's first, who gets it out there,
yeah.
who you're going to go to, what website or what TV show. So everybody, certainly not just TMZ, is into that situation now where that's what they have to do. So that's why we're trying to be, you know, tell you what's reported, what's out there, any quotes from Tiger or the police, but still other things are going to be coming out of this story. But it's not something that Tiger obviously was hoping that today you'd have to be dealing with and answering questions about.
You know, you referred to taking a taxi or taking Uber. Tim, that is something you and I would do. A Frank Bassett, a Tiger Woods, forget Uber or taxis. You take a helicopter,
something.
Just drop you off right at your house. That's no fuss, no muss.
I made a huge mistake around Tiger's age, coming out of Doral in a sports car and speeding and slammed into a tree after playing golf. I mean, I cast no stones because I've been there, done that, just never the level of a Tiger Woods, never the money of a Tiger Woods or the talent of a Tiger Woods. But
did you hit it that bad?
You bit the car in half.
The tree or the ball?
The tree didn't move. I hit the ball terribly that day, which is why I was in a bad mood.
So you hit the tree good, hit the ball
solid.
Bad.
Hit that tree solid as a rock.
Solid. Best hit he had all day.
It bent a 9/11 in half, so totaled it. Anyway, I walked away. But on a more positive note, Bob, how about Bernhard Langer? Good Lord.
Well, Bernhard Langer, to be able to stare Vijay Singh down like he did, I mean, basically it was a match play situation in the fourth and final round of the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. Head-to-head, those two, where Vijay Singh's out driving him by 30, 40 yards every hole, Bernhard Langer showed once again the tremendous talent, and especially since 50, with that victory, he moved to 9 major wins on the champions. And of course, that's one more than Jack Nicklaus. So he's in a category of his own.
Wow.
I think the most ironic part, because it's been well documented, Bernhard Langer and his yips, I remember. He was brought into the media room at the Masters right in the middle of a severe bout of the yips. And somebody in the media put up his hand and said, Bernhard, could you talk a little bit about – and he's stumbling and fumbling for words, apparently very nervous, when Charlie Yates was the moderator. And he said, Bernhard, what he's trying to ask you is – what are you doing about your yips? I mean, flat out put it to him. And Bernhard said to Vijay on Sunday, he said, Vijay, I sympathize with you because the way you're putting, I was that way once myself. So Vijay had to be upset about losing, but getting told that he's got the yips really couldn't have been very pleasant.
Oh, no.
I tell you what. Longer is almost unbeatable, and now he's almost 60, right? Is he 59, I believe?
59.
Yeah, and so it is incredible. So he's taking on guys that are still just coming into play on the PGA Tour Champions, and so a good 7, 8, 9 years younger than he is, and he has no fear. I mean, he just keeps mowing people down. Good paycheck, too, by the way. I mean, picked up, about $400,000, $380,000. About $500,000, I think, for that one. So, I mean, the money on the PGA Tour seniors is getting pretty good. There's no reason to stop playing. And, you know, it was back in the day, it was a nice little supplement, but most of those guys would still kind of do some other things to make money. Now, I mean, Bernhard's making well over $1 million, still playing and winning like he is. So I think it's a phenomenal story. He's also a humble guy because while he said, hey, it's great that I now have more majors on the PGA Tour champions than Jack had, I'm well behind him on the regular tour, and anytime my name comes in the same sentence with Jack Nicklaus, I feel honored. So he didn't take it on almost like a look at me, look at me. He was very humble in
what he did and saying, you know, I may have something Jack doesn't have, but it may be the only thing that I have that Jack doesn't have. So I like him. I think Bernhard Langer is great for the game. He's great for that tour as well. There's so many young bucks that are trying to get on the tour, and I'm like, good luck. You're going to be taking on Bernhard when he's 65. He'll probably still be, you know, challenging you guys. And I just mentioned Mr. Nicklaus, the big tournament coming up now, guys, the Memorial, that we're going to see a heck of a field here again, that as everybody plays that in honor of Jack, but also getting ready for the U.S. Open coming up down the road. Bob, do you enjoy the Memorial? Is this one of your favorite tournaments?
It really is. I mean, it's special. I mean, anytime Jack Nicklaus is associated with anything, it automatically goes into the special category as far as I'm concerned. And the Memorial, Jack, a lot of ideas from the Masters, you know, the scoreboards are the same. You see the caddies wearing the same outfits. All it really is Jack displaying his love affair with Augusta National, where he won the Masters six times. And he even refers to the people watching as patrons. They're not fans, a tradition that instituted at Augusta National. So certainly a highlight on the calendar, and it's always a big thrill on Sunday afternoon, whoever makes that winning putt to walk off that 72nd hole, and there he is, the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus himself, ready to shake your hand. I mean, that's just an incredible moment. I've talked to players that did that like 10 years prior, and they still get goosebumps whenever they talk about they had the privilege of getting their hand shook by Jack Nicklaus. And by the way, milkshakes in the locker room are pretty damn good also.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Bob, and I wanted to ask you too, Frank, in talking about that and all the honors that Jack has and deserves, I'm just curious, and you mentioned how it parallels the golf course and Augusta and the traditions. Is it conceivable at some point, almost like, and I don't even know the year, so maybe you guys know better than I do, when the Masters was acknowledged as a major, because it started as an invitational and Bobby Jones was associated. And because of that, I think in large part, it became a major and a tournament everybody honored. Is it conceivable at some point down the road that the Memorial will be considered in the same way, almost as a tribute to Jack? I know people talk about the players as a fifth major possibility. Is it possible Memorial, because of Jack, would have that honor somewhere down the road?
Well, they have it written in the bylaws that at Muir Field, where the memorial's held. It's in very small print, so it's hard to see, but I looked at it closely, and it said, the year that Frank Bassett wins our memorial, this tournament will be a major.
So it's coming soon, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
I'm saying don't hold your breath.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's pretty funny. No, I don't think so, personally. No. Mm-mm. No, not at all. I think our majors are our majors. We don't need another one, don't want another one. Right. The LPGA has a fifth major. That confuses the record books in my eyes.
PGA Tour Champions has five. Yeah.
PGA Tour Champions has five.
That's
so,
what I'm just saying. I mean,
no,
if there's a fifth.
I don't think so.
You know, is it,
I'm happy,
know, Jack,
with what
you
we
don't
have.
Think, as a tribute to the greatest of all time, you don't think, just like they did for Bobby? And by the way, do you guys know when the major designation was given to the Masters? Because certainly at the beginning it was another tournament, right, that Bobby Jones had started, but when was it actually considered a major? Was there a point where that happened, or did it just evolve into that?
You obviously didn't get the memo, Tim, that said, please don't ask questions
you know the guys don't have answers to. Well, okay. There we go. I had a hunch when I was saying it, and I was hearing silence that I wasn't going to get a response. I'm just curious how much longer it took before they said, let's make this a major.
Great.
Maybe in the 50s, 60s?
I don't have my...
No, it was long before. It was back in the 40s.
In the 40s? So it had only been 10 years in? Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious, but the Memorial is a pretty sweet tournament. Major Field, too, though, Frank. Have you ever played there, Frank, at Memorial?
I have played Muir Field.
Have you ever played at Muir Field?
Yes.
No? You have?
Yes, I have. Jack Nicklaus courses don't really like Frank Bassett a whole lot.
No.
They're tough for me. I mean.
Yeah.
So, no.
He does like to challenge the golfers.
I mean, it's beautiful. Cool. I mean, I loved it. It was fabulous playing the place. I've played it once. But, no, I didn't really play well. I was more in awe of where I was and what it was all about, to be honest.
Hey, Bob, before we let you go, this will, as we said, be a good warm-up for a lot of the guys playing in this memorial for the upcoming U.S. Open in Wisconsin. if you had to right now pull out your crystal ball, which is almost always dead on accurate, give us a couple of names, a few names that you think might be challenging Wisconsin for the U.S. Open coming up in a few weeks.
Well, I don't know how you can look past a player like John Rahm. I mean, under U.S. Open conditions, he's the one player that I feel very confident that has the confidence to stand on a tee with a narrow fairway in front of him and hit driver, where everybody else probably is going to go to a three wood, maybe even to a three iron. So he's going to have a tremendous edge in yardage. And I know he's young, and I know he's going to have plenty of opportunities. But, you know, he's the same age as Jordan Spieth when Jordan Spieth won the Masters and the U.S. Open. So I wouldn't count him out. I think Jason Day definitely is going to be a factor there. Rory McIlroy, I really don't know the condition of his ribs to say. And then our defending champion. He hasn't won in a couple of weeks, which is quite surprising, because when you watch him win, you think he's going to win every week, and that's Dustin Johnson. So it's going to be a fantastic U.S. Open, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be it always is. It's exciting. It's compelling. Sometimes there are surprises, you know, that a guy that we're not even talking about, Kevin Kisner, someone else that you don't even think about, sometimes pulls through. But however you look at it, it's going to be fun. And we'll see if Memorial is a good indicator. Whoever plays well and comes out of there, if it's a good indicator. And then from there, Bob, Frank will go to Memphis because he's dying for some ribs. And so
Poncho's cheese dip and ribs.
He has to go to Memphis to get his fill. All right, what's your next stop, Bob, and the Vertical Groove Tour that Bob Bumka's on? Where do you go next for your next event?
Well, I'm going to be going to the United States Open as my next event, because after that it gets rather hectic for me. Going over to England, Royal Birkdale, where Marco Mira won his British Open back in 1998. And another thing happened in 1998, believe it or not, Justin Rose, as an amateur, holed out on the 72nd hole, propelling him to turn professional. He did turn pro the day after, and then he played in 23 European Tour events without making a cut, and everybody said, see, he wasn't the real deal. Well, when he was hoisting that trophy at Medina, not Medina, at Marion, as the winner of the United States Open, people then said, well, I guess he is the real deal. Now he's got a gold medal to back it up. So sure. Royal Birkdale will be great. Come back, get a little bit of rest, and then get ready for going down to Charlotte in August for the PGA, which is going to be a challenge.
That's going to be that course is going to be a booger bear, because even set up for normal members, Quail Hollow is a very difficult track. So, Bob, you're right. It's going to be challenging.
And I don't want to give anything away, but let's tease him a little bit here, Frank. Bob, give us a little bit of insight into Vertical Groove and what it's all about, because we may – it's in the early stages here. We're developing this as a concept.
A
but
plan.
We may have one to give away – a Vertical Groove driver in the very near future right here on Golf Talk America. So, Bob, tell people a little bit about Vertical Groove's driver.
Well, John Daly has it in the bag. The sixth tournament that he played with it, he won the Insperity. Daly finished 17th last week. Kenny Perry's hitting the Vertical Groove driver, and he's hitting it further and straighter. That's only the two things that the Vertical Groove driver will do for your game. You can hit it straighter. You can hit it further.
And I don't want that. Who wants that?
Yeah. And if you want more information, it's pretty simple. Just go to vertgolf.com. You can spec one out and order it. And you're right. The powers to be, we're trying to put together an exciting contest where we're going to give a Vertical Groove driver away in conjunction with our United States Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin later in the month of June.
Listen every day. You'll find out the details.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Bob, The Grill Room, your show, which is a fabulous podcast that you're putting out there, a show every week, where can our listeners go to hear your show?
Well, that's simple. You just go to grillroom.com. And, you know, we're also on TuneIn, and we're proud to be on the Armed Forces Radio Network, especially in and around Memorial Day. So a lot of places, but thegrillroom.com is probably your best bet.
Perfect.
It's a great show.
Bob.
Fun show.
We appreciate your time, and best of luck in continued success with the Grill Room, but also your next venture to Wisconsin into the farmland and the U.S. Open. We'll be talking to you before then. And we'll give more details about how to give away a vertical groove through the generosity of Bob Bupka and the great people at Golf Talk America, the people working behind the scenes. And there are so many, Frank.
There are a bunch.
Thank all the people working on this. But we'll give people more details down the road. But, hey, Bob, have a great day today, okay? We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Bob.
Care. All right. Bob Bupka, and yeah, that's kind of exciting. Frank, you do have one. I don't. I think one is in the in the FedEx truck on its way to me. But you haven't had the weather yet to be able to get out and
I've swung it a few times, but I haven't really gone out and hit it and taken it into play. So that's my plan today. When we finish this show, I'm heading to the club.
Are you also going to talk to the people at the club about using Golf Genius? I'm just curious.
Well,
Frank,
you know,
the people
at my club do have Golf Genius software, and I would implore our listeners to check them out at golfgenius.com. It's fabulous software. They're the clear leader in tournament management software. They combine the best characteristics of traditional golf events with exciting new features made possible by the latest in software innovation. Manage your tournament, manage your game. Not only do PGA professionals use it, but if you have a golf league or golf outings or charity events, whatever, check out golfgenius.com. Last year, Golf Genius managed over 2 million rounds of golf. So that should speak for itself. And they also collaborated with the USGA to revamp the thousands of GEN members, the GEN systems, for your handicap. So Golf Genius is it's validated. It works. It's pretty cool stuff. GolfGenius.com. And thank them very much for being a proud sponsor. I think they're a proud sponsor of Golf Talk America.
I'm sure they are. Well, cool.
So let's back up, because I need to clarify something I said earlier. I get a little impassioned, as you know, and confused. I don't mean to say or cast anything against TMZ particularly, okay? I use them because they came out first with everything. And fact of the matter is, that's my opinion. That's not the opinion of the PGA Tour. That's not the opinion of Tim Matthews. It's not the opinion of Bogey the Wonder Dog, okay? That's my personal opinion. And maybe I was a little harsh.
That's all right. I mean, you're deservedly so. I think that
I just get fired up about tabloids. I will not look at them in the grocery store. I hate that stuff.
But here's the problem I see it in a journalistic standpoint, and I've graduated with a degree in journalism, and I'm proud of it, you know. And I know that journalism gets ripped on a lot by a lot of people, and so I try to defend journalism in the purest of sense. But it's now become a part where there's such a fine line between, and I'm not saying National Enquirer, you know, and there's an alien with three heads and living in your basement kind of thing, but I mean.
Well, there is the ones we're talking about,
and there's so many websites and things out there. But everybody now, and that's ABC, CBS, every doc, whatever you name, CNN, they all want to beat somebody, right? They all want to get to the, and that's part of the game.
Well, that's their game.
They all want to sell more, so they want to be first to it, and
Scoop.
They miss. And that's politics. It's athletes. It's whatever they're covering. They want to be the first, and they want to put out big headlines that make everybody go, "Oh, I've got to read about that. I got to watch. It's coming up next," and all that. So it is what it is, and it bothers me because journalism has taken, I think, a downward spiral, not into the depths of everything, but it's just not as pure as it used to be when facts used to be a little bit more important.
Moving towards sensationalism. It's another ism.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I just don't. And the only reason I don't like it, or the main reason I don't like it, I should say, is because it affects people's lives.
Sure.
And you can't, you know, 1,000 attaboys wipes out one oops.
Right.
Or I'm sorry. One oops wipes out 1,000 attaboys. See, I'm dyslexic.
I got you.
But it does. So, and again, with that picture slammed up there, the mugshot of, I'll never forget the mugshot of the actor. I can see it in my right now.
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. That mugshot. That's still
the worst ever. Maybe
worst
ever
mugshot ever
yeah.
published.
Yeah. And nobody wants a mugshot. But yeah, there are different degrees of mugshots. Yeah, his was one of the all time. And you know, there are people saying, we talked earlier with Bob Bupka about the Tiger situation. Why doesn't Tiger have a driver? And the answer that I've been hearing on local radio and stuff is, he does. He just can't hit it straight. And his putting's not very good either.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. I didn't see that coming. Hook, line, and sinker, baby.
He's got it. He's got a driver, all right. He just can't. So,
you got to cut the line. The hook's caught in my throat on that one.
Yeah, I got you. But there are still facts that are going to be coming out in this. And, again, any way you slice it, it's not good news for Tiger. He was arrested. We'll see.
Are you trying to be funny? Any way you slice it?
No, I wasn't trying to be pun intended.
I'm sorry.
There will be more facts that will come out, and we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll probably know everything in about a week or so, but it'll trickle. And that's part of we'll have Steve Johnson on. He's very, very open about dealing with Tiger and being around Tiger through all his years with Hank. And he's said it time and time again, and other people have as well, that Tiger grew up with a father who wanted to shelter him from a lot of things and not let anything out. And he's been very open about that. Even in his book, he wrote, Hank Haney wrote, that Tiger was constantly saying he doesn't want anybody to know. He doesn't want to say anything. And even to a guy who was as close to him as Hank was, he wouldn't let him inside. So that's just Tiger's personality. So when something like this happens, you do have to sometimes wonder, what are we hearing? Is it the full story? Is it part of the story? Because his personality, and Steve Johnson, again, later this week will join us to talk more about it, is to not divulge much of anything. So we may not have certainly the whole story. As of now, it's still pretty fresh. We'll know more as the days go on. And, yeah, as you said, the worst part about this is his kids and everything else. They're at an age where other kids will make fun of them and you know, and show their cell phone a picture of your dad's mugshot to him, whatever. You know, and so that's the downside of it. But you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out and where Tiger is in the game of golf. And it'd be interesting. I'll tell you what, it's all going to – if he gets back on a golf course, it may be next year, whenever, the hype will still be there. I promise you.
People will
still want to know what's going on with Tiger. Is he going to play? And if he gets out in a tournament, everybody will be covering it. You know, it's still going to be a fascinating story. So this – diminishes some things, but it doesn't diminish the country's fascination and golf lovers' fascination with Tiger Woods.
No, how could it? I mean, that's some of the greatest golf I think any of us have ever seen played.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I wish him the best and wish his family the best, and we'll leave it at that. So,
yeah.
I want to back up real quick, too. Bernhard Langer, good gracious. I mean, and I had to bring that up. I didn't mean to just not transition, but just jump in there. But congratulations to Bernhard. He is a fine, fine gentleman with a fabulous family. And we know him well and love him to death. He's just a great, great man.
Yeah.
And, wow, so proud of what he's accomplished. And hope I can still play golf at my advanced age. I mean, he and I are close. So,
well, vertical groove's going to help you there, Frank.
I'm going to hit that vertical groove.
Same
today.
Swing, another 15 yards. How about, How about that?
And my Seymour putter. So,
yep.
And
love them all.
We love them all. And Golf Genius, we have to love. The one person we leave out is Brendan Sweeney. We don't have to love him. You know, he's a French Lick resort. So,
he's a man of a few opinions. On this week.
Good Lord. Well, you know, Damon Goddard, by the way, he and I were texting back and forth after after he had to jump in for Michael Greller and caddy.
Yeah.
When Michael almost had a heat stroke out on the course. It was 96 degrees, I guess you were out there that day, and it was just brutally hot. And I text Damon, who is Jordan Spieth and Kevin Kisner's strength coach. Damon jumped out inside the ropes and grabbed the bag and carried it for Jordan the rest of the round. So I text him after the round. I said, "Hey, big boy, was it hot? But you still look pretty good out there." And he just gave me a couple of laughs and said, "Yeah, it was really hot." But Damon, long story short, we were going to have Damon on the show. But he's working with the boys right now. So
And Damon would be a good guy for all of us as we now get into the heat of the summer. Damon will reference what all of us need to be doing when we're out there playing golf and it gets a little hot. How to hydrate, how to do all those things to avoid what happened with Michael Greller while you're out there playing, because it's that time of year.
Yeah, water before the round, potassium, bananas, whatever, fruit.
All that stuff.
Everything. Yeah, so it's really important for everybody.
He'll give us advice of that, as well as how to caddy for your multimillionaire friends. Damon's good for all that kind of advice.
Damon's a good dude. Our good friend Ned Michaels, who played on the Vanderbilt golf team and played professionally for a while, he's a sportscaster, works with CBS and works with us and PGAtour.com. Damon, he's been on the show with Ned when I've had Ned on this show with us, and he just hammers Ned because Ned's always eating a chocolate donut or something. So we'll have to bring that up.
That's not a good thing? Is that what you're saying? That's not good?
It's good for me at my age. I don't care.
Help your hydration.
I hydrate with a jelly donut and a chocolate donut and a Yoo-Hoo. There you go. That's my energy drink is a Yoo-Hoo. So there.
All right, let's roll some music. I think we're out of here.
I don't know. It's been a long show, man.
I think we've done all the harm we can possibly do, Frank, haven't we?
Yeah.
Our work here is done.
And again, the opinions expressed by Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett are our own, okay, opinions. There you go.
That's what we're here for. It's what we do. All right, everybody, we appreciate you spending time with us. Thanks to Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room. Be sure to check out his show, grillroom.com, and Vertical Groove Drivers as well. Golf.com. Build your own driver right there. So cool. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you again for being with us, and please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.